This episode of Travel Today with Peter Greenberg is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today at www.audiblepodcast.com/travel today to get a free audiobook and 30-day trial.
It's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one travel news journalist. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, your travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
Joining me now, an old friend of ours, in fact, he's been on the show many, many times. And in fact, the last time, at least maybe, he was in South Africa years ago, he was with me right here in Cape Town, James Schillinglaw from?
Travel Market Report.
Travel Market Report. Now, you and I go back here to Cape Town, I believe it's in 1998. And that was one of the first Virtuoso conventions, international.
Symposiums that they call them. Yeah, that's right.
Whatever you want to call it.
All right.
And I remember giving a speech to the assembled travel advisors. And there must have been 300 or 400 in the room. And I said, you know, you need to think outside the box. You need to do things that are not in the brochure for your clients so that they have a chance to have bragging rights and have, you know, experiential one-upsmanship, if you will. And I said, you know what I'm going to do right after I give a speech here? I have a good friend of mine who has an airport operation at the airport in Cape Town, and he's got a British Strike Master fighter jet. And for $500, you strap yourself in with a pilot, of course, and next thing you know, you're hitting the Cape and back in 8 minutes. It's like the coolest experience ever. Who wants to come with me? And everybody said, oh, no, we have plans. Sorry. We're going to do high tea here at the hotel.
Well, that's what I did, Peter. High tea at the hotel sounded much better.
It did, until what happened. What happened was, I got in the jet, I flew down the Cape in 8 minutes and back, and then I said to the pilot, how much fuel we got left? He said, about 47 minutes. I said, can I get on the radio and talk to the tower? I have an idea. Let's see if they're in a good mood. So I talked to the tower, and it must have been a very bizarre day because they said yes, and we turned the afterburner on, got down to about 450 feet, and buzzed the Mount Nelson while everybody was having their high tea. We broke windows, we broke glasses, and the next day, 20 Virtuoso agents were at the airport saying, can I please have a ride in that jet?
Well, you also went to the bar that night and told everybody about it, and I was sitting with you at the time.
That's right. And of course, I've been back to Cape Town many times since, but every time I check into the Mount Nelson, they go, you're not taking the plane, are you? Because they don't want to pay the bill.
But Peter, have you ever gone rappelling down Table Mountain?
As a matter of fact, no. Have you?
I have. I did it right after that event.
And by the way, you can see Table Mountain right from the one and only. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, it's an amazing mountain, and I went up there in my
street
clothes.
Our producer, Kathy Jackway, is salivating at this.
Yeah, and you go up there, and you have some nice African squirrel to tell you how to go down the mountain, and they strap you in, and all of a sudden, you are bouncing down the cliff.
And of course, once you start bouncing down the cliff, there's no other alternative. You're going all the way down.
No, you have to go all the way. And at some point, you have no cliff because then you're just on the rope. And I had forgotten that part of it. It was a little frightening at the time.
It's not frightening at the time. It's frightening anytime.
And it was a beautiful view, as if I could have actually spent the time and not been crazed about the height. But
no, you see, there's an opportunity for someone else to take a picture of you because you're too busy being terrified.
Yes, but then I was actually lucky enough to watch all my friends who were coming down after me screaming as they came down, which was pretty amusing.
Well, obvious question. You all made it down.
Yes, we did, except I barely made it home because one thing I forgot, suntan lotion. I was red as a beet.
Yeah, that's so. The South African sun here is unlike any other sun you'll ever see in the world. I mean, we're talking, you know, whatever highest rating you can get on the suntan lotion,
yes,
get it. Because
that's absolutely true. And I just got back from a safari by river that I had the same issue where I even had good suntan lotion, but
stop right there.
Okay.
Safari by river?
Yes, there's one up in Botswana. It's done by...
Oh, in the Chobe.
In the Chobe River, Waterways, okay. And BZ Queen, and it was a marvelous way to do it. They do a part of it is by land, but they do 2 or 3 days also on the river. And of course, where do animals go on the river? They go to drink, and so they're right along the river the entire time.
I will tell
time.
You this. I had one of my most incredible experiences on the Chobe at a place called the Moana Lodge, because you'll never see a larger herd of elephants in your life.
Absolutely.
They all, and it's just, you just sit there going, Did you just see that?
Yeah, there are 120,000 elephants in Chobe National Park. So it's the largest elephant reserve, I believe, in Africa.
And I'm telling you, it's worth it. And what we did, I combined it with a train trip. I did Rovos Rail from Pretoria all the way up to Zambezi, mm-hmm. to Victoria Falls. And then from Victoria Falls, it's only a 45-minute ride into Botswana.
That's right.
And then you're right on the river. It's unbelievable.
It was one of the most fascinating experiences. When I came to South Africa last time, when you were here and you did your jet thing, I didn't do anything. I didn't do safaris at all.
You just stayed in the bar and drank.
Well, that's true. Yeah. We had to do that.
You had to do that.
Well, so did you. So, but this time I said I'm going to do something, and I was very happy with the selection, and it was a really marvelous trip. Saw elephants, saw lots of giraffes, saw hippos, saw a little bit of a lion, but not too much.
The thing that's so cool about where we are right now, it's a great hub for doing all of that. Mm. It's a great way to begin or end the trip.
Sure.
Cape Town, to me, is magical. There's a reason why its sister city is San Francisco. Mm. Because think about it. It's got Robben Island, which there they have Alcatraz. Mm-hmm. It's got Robben Island, of course, the island where Nelson Mandela was imprisoned. They've got cable cars and trams. And it's got the same kind of weather. And wine. You know, they have
Napa. Actually a little warmer in San Francisco, but that's
some people would say it's a little warmer in Cape Town. It depends on the time
true.
Of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
But the wine district here, of course, the other thing is 45 minutes. You don't have to go all the way out to Stellenbosch to find great wine.
Yeah.
45 minutes from where I am right now, there's a place called Constanze Utzig. Mm-hmm. And the guy who owns that winery is a cricket fanatic. He built his own cricket pitch. And that's where I learned how to play cricket. You know, and with enough glasses of wine, even you can play cricket, you know.
And you've seen the development going down here on the waterfront.
Yeah.
Cape Town has been absolutely amazing in the last 15, 20 years.
And then, of course, not far from where we are right now, in the one and only, in the basin of the Cape Grace, is probably the best single malt bar I've ever been to.
Well, so, we'll have to go there after you do your next jet fighter experience.
Yeah, right? Certainly after we do the jet fighter, but never before. What's the biggest surprise having returned to Africa for you that you're finding right now?
I think it's how much it's developed. When we were here, it still was, you know, there were some worries about crime here in Cape Town, and we were kind of told to stay off the streets. Now nobody says that to us. And it's just in general how developed the country is. And it's very safe.
And the food here.
The food is amazing.
Amazing. I mean, first of all, if you're looking for comfort level food, they have everything right here at One and Only. They got Nobu. Come on. But, I mean, you've got an amazing Indian food over at the Taj. Mm-hmm. Order the Bali Chaat. That's all I'm going to tell you. Order the Bali Chaat. You've got great seafood, of course.
Yeah.
But it's no longer just, you know, meat and potatoes here. Because that was the old days of the old British holidaymakers coming here.
Sure.
That's all they had was meat and
potatoes.
Well,
I mean, where we're staying even now, the Mount Nelson is that classic British colonial hotel. And it's incredible. But now they have things like the One and Only and the Cape Grace. And you keep on going there. There's a lot of different options to where you can stay.
Now, a river safari is a surprise for me because I didn't know you could actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know you could go on the river, but a river safari on a riverboat, right?
It's on a riverboat, but really your riverboat acts as your floating hotel. And
right,
then you
of course.
Get into tenders and actually go speeding along the Chobe River at a very good clip. And then you get closer and closer to the animals to the point where we were literally 2 feet away from an elephant chomping away at his grass.
And as long as you're not between the elephant and its baby, you're okay.
I think I was okay, and the elephant finally gave us a show and then went his merry way. That was enough, and then the same with the biggest surprise we had was a hippo right underneath our boat.
The most dangerous animal in Africa.
Absolutely.
The most dangerous animal in Africa. Do not kid yourself. It's not the lion. Forget the Lion King. It's the hippo.
It's the hippo, and we
and
see,
if you really
want to
see
why.
How dangerous they are, go on a night safari, because that's when the hippos come out of the water and go hunting.
Yeah, that's what. Well, they come out because they're going to go grazing, and so that's when you can run into one, and you don't want to run into one, believe me.
Or you don't want to have one run into you. I'm telling you, these guys, massive.
Absolutely,
massive.
And then
they're all muscle.
We saw numerous pods. That's what they call pods of hippos, and they were just, you know, they seemed to be very, you know.
Well, because during the day you just see their eyes poking up above the surface of the water, but at night, boom, 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 boom. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I saw one during the day that I could tell that I didn't want to really mess with them. That's for sure.
Did he tell you that?
Yeah. He just said, "Look, don't mess with me." And that was
James Schillinglaw from
Travel Market Report.
If you are continuing on to another Southwest destination, please make sure that you check the monitors inside the terminal for your proper gate and flight information. If you are continuing on with another airline, we really don't care.